Welcome to Carrickfergus Vineyard, a place of hope where lives are changing. We're a church in the heart of Carrickfergus, passionate about seeing people's lives changed by the love of Jesus. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services.
We had an issue with sound, so this is a re-recording of the talk at Carrickfergus Vineyard Church on Sunday, the 3rd of March, 2024. Who do you say I am? Me, Chantelle. I'm a person, I'm a woman, I'm a daughter, I'm a friend, I'm a sister, a wife, a mother, a pastor, a jack of all trades actually. Well, that's what we decided last week at staff meeting when Tom was sitting on his big black leather chair that looked like Mastermind. So we were working out what our specialist subjects would be and I just couldn't settle on any. So I decided I was the jack of all trades. And now you're all thinking, what would yours be? What's your specialist subject? Well, who do you say I am? Jesus asked this question to his disciples in Matthew 16. And they answer, you are the Messiah, in other words, the Saviour. And in this I Am series, we've been exploring who Jesus says he is. We've looked at how he says, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, and I am the door or the gate. In John chapter 10, verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. So if you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 10 and we're going to read from verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Jesus said it so plainly, there could be no mistake what he meant. And as Ian said last week, the people of that time would be well aware of what shepherd-like care meant for the people of God in that culture. And you can see shepherds throughout the story of the Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And when Pharaoh asked Joseph's brothers their occupation, they said, we are shepherds just as our fathers were in Genesis 47. I also love it that when Jacob was sent by his father Isaac to find a wife from his own people, he came across Rachel, who was with her father's sheep because she was a shepherd. Genesis 29, no discrimination here. Rachel was a shepherd. In the Old Testament, when Jacob came to bless his son Joseph's sons, he said, may the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. That's in Genesis 48, 15 and 16. What a declaration that is when you stop and think about it. Think about Jacob's life. He and his mum Rebecca conspired to steal his older brother Esau's birthright from his father Isaac. And when they did that, his brother wanted to kill him, so Jacob had to run away. He went to his uncle's people and fell in love with Rachel. His uncle made him work for 7 years to marry her and then tricked him into marrying her older sister Leah. Then he had to work another 7 years to be able to marry Rachel. Leah had several sons and Rachel was so jealous. Eventually she had 2 sons herself, Joseph and Benjamin, but died in childbirth having Benjamin. As they grew up, Joseph's brothers hated him because they knew he was their father Jacob's favourite. They sold him as a slave, took his precious coat and pretended to their father he had been murdered by wild animals. Jacob thought he'd been torn to pieces and he couldn't be comforted. Years later, there's famine in the land and eventually Joseph who, after suffering a lot, including prison, had been blessed by God and become a powerful leader in Egypt, is able to give his family food and is reunited with his father Jacob and his brothers. Are you still with me? After this, Jacob bestows this blessing on his son Joseph and his grandsons. So that is a very short version of the story, and you thought your family was dysfunctional. As we can tell, Jacob had many distressing and confusing, heartbreaking things happen in his life. But as he said this blessing over his grandsons, he could still declare, "The God who has been my shepherd all my life till this day." So this idea of God as shepherd is not new. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He lays down his life for us, the sheep. Yes, that's us, in case you hadn't realised. And this is the meaning of Easter. This is the message of the cross. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "He himself bore our sin in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds ye have been healed." We are redeemed and we're forgiven. We receive God's abundant grace. We're forgiven so we can draw near to God and have relationship with him. It's personal because of Jesus. And we can tell that from Ephesians 1:7. Because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And we know that the sheep are under threat. There are thieves and robbers, there are wolves, and the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy, as it says in John 10:10. And we forget sometimes that we're in a spiritual battle. Our enemy, the devil, doesn't want us to follow Jesus, to draw near to Jesus, to know the shepherd's voice, to listen out for him. He wants us far from God, doing our own thing, living just for ourselves. So he will destroy and distract and do whatever he can. I've said about this book before, don't give the enemy a seat at your table. This author was experiencing confusion and conflict, harmful actions, hurtful words going on. It was personal. He was trying to lead and he couldn't keep a clear head. And he texted a friend giving off about him. And his friend's 9-word reply changed his life. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. This is what he says. "My struggle wasn't about fighting with people. People were involved, but the battle I was facing was against principalities and powers of darkness." Ephesians 6:12. "My Heavenly Father wasn't making me afraid or paranoid. My shepherd wasn't putting thoughts of despair in my mind. The harmful thoughts were coming from someone else. The enemy had taken a seat at my table and I was allowing myself to listen to a killer. Right there in my driveway, I determined to take back my table. The devil would have to flee. In the days that followed, my mind was riveted on those 9 words. Don't give the enemy a seat. Don't entertain his ideas. Those thoughts are not from a good and trustworthy shepherd. Move on." So how do we do that with our good shepherd? In Psalm 23, David says, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies." We're invited to a table with the King. He is our shepherd. And last week, Ian showed a picture of the sheep pen. And we don't have a hired hand, it says in verse 12 and 13, who runs away when a wolf comes. We have a shepherd. This picture of the sheep pen shows that he's also the door or the gate. He would place himself there to protect the sheep. Anything that wants to attack us has to come through him first when we let him be our shepherd, when we place ourselves within his pen under his protection. And he won't fail. His love never gives up, never runs out on us. We sing about that, don't we? And we know this is true. We believe it in our heads, but do we actually live like it? And recently, I myself have been feeling like this at times. You know, things have happened, things have come at me, and I catastrophize. I jump to the worst case scenario. And maybe you do that also. And we have different thoughts in our head, don't we, about different situations. It could be, oh, things will never work out. I'll never move house. I won't be able to find a new job. I won't meet someone. I won't find a partner, or something like that. Person really hates me, or I'll never get over that. Whose voice is that? Those negative thoughts are from the thief, the wolf. And that's why I keep saying about that book. I need to remind myself, don't give the enemy a seat at my table. He is the accuser. He drops seeds in our minds and they can take root. And we need to replace that with the truth. Declaring, I have a good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, for me, and I trust in him and I listen to him. He will protect me. I place myself in his pen, in his presence. I read his word. I talk to him. I immerse myself in worship. I listen to my shepherd's voice. And last summer when we were in New Zealand, it was their winter, and I've got a couple of photos here. This is Mount Cook, the highest mountain in New Zealand, and we were in the South Island, and the mountains were spectacular like this. The water was so blue, and this picture on the right shows us kind of freezing and soaking as we tried to see Mount Cook, but it was so rainy and cold we didn't actually see it in all its splendour. But while we were in New Zealand, we did quite a bit of driving and we saw a lot of sheep. Some of the fields just looked so full of sheep, Paul started to make jokes about reporting them for overcrowding. So this picture here is a picture of sheep in New Zealand, but I have to confess, it's not an actual picture we took, as I realised we hadn't actually taken any of the sheep, funnily enough, but I did show you some authentic pictures. But as you can see in this picture, to us the sheep all look the same, but yet it is not like that with God. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And as I said, the sheep, that's us, but we're individuals and he knows each one of us. Our personalities, our strengths, our weaknesses, our hopes, our fears. He created us. He knows all about us. The Bible says he knows every hair on our head. And I don't think we can ever get tired of the words of Psalm 139. And I really encourage you, go home, read it over and over, meditate on it, let the words sink into your heart and your mind. You have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He is your good shepherd. He knows you inside out. He's familiar with all your ways. Can you believe that before a word comes out of your mouth, he knows you're going to speak it? He declares over you, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And that is how we take back our table from the enemy, by knowing the truth about what God says about us. Because he knows you, he knows what you need. And we sing that song, don't we? Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And even when I don't see it, you're working. When I don't feel it, you're working. And God is working in your life today. And I believe God just has perfect timing. He knows what we need when we need it. And at the start of the year, I started slowly working through this little study just for me called Waymaker. And a few weeks ago, I read these words and it was exactly what I needed to hear at the time. This is from Anne Voskamp. Hope hit a roadblock, plans didn't come through, and also true, reroute, reroute, reroute. There are real ways to simultaneously decrease your pain and increase the number of ways you have to navigate through the pain. And there is a real way through. Actively, bravely trust. Reroute all this thinking about this disappointment toward a different possibility. You can make it your way of life to see. What is in the way is actually making another way. What is in the way is actually making another way. Even when I don't see it, you're working. So I read this and I take it on board. I try to live out of it. And then just a week later, another situation comes into my life where I need to remember this again. He's a way maker. He's a good shepherd. He knows what I need. He knows what you need. And there's another beautiful picture of the shepherd in the Old Testament, and Isaiah 40 verse 11 says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young." And I just wanted to highlight that today, particularly for those of you with little ones. He gently leads those who have young. He knows what you need. He's tender with you. He knows you're tired, and he carries you close to his heart. Verse 15, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep." This is actually incredible when you think about it. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, that is how we as sheep can know the shepherd. In the same way Jesus is known by God the Father and knows him. That is such a precious relationship. Jesus says in John 8, "The Father has not left me alone." Later in this chapter 10, he says, "I and the Father couldn't be closer." And for us, that is the kind of relationship we can have with Jesus, our good shepherd. And today I want to recognise the difficulty of this if your relationship with your own earthly father is or was not good. But our God of love is a loving father. He doesn't condemn. He is not distant. Remember Jesus' baptism. The Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove, and God's voice from heaven says, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." This is what God the Father says over us, his children. And Jesus withdrew often because he just needed to be with his Father, to hear his Father's voice. And we need to do that too, withdraw to spend time with the shepherd, to listen for his voice. And I just want to encourage you today, maybe you're doing that regularly and you're just spending time with God and it's just wonderful. But if you haven't for a while, the shepherd knows you. He wants to be with you. When will you take that time to withdraw and be with him and let him care for you and speak to you and protect you? And you know, when we don't know the shepherd, that's not a good place to be. Matthew 9:36 says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." And that's what we were like when we didn't know God. And there's times still, isn't there, when we can stray away from the shepherd. We're not drawn near. We're not letting him protect or listening to his voice. And perhaps that's how some of us feel today. We feel harassed and helpless, and we need to let him be our shepherd, lead us, guide us. Stop trying to do it all ourselves. You know, he loves us so much, he will always pursue us. He will leave the 99 to go after the one, and that is you. In verse 16, Jesus says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one, shall be one flock and one shepherd." And this is what our life group has actually been talking about over the last few weeks. We've been doing this course called Talking Jesus. And this Talking Jesus research was commissioned by some organisations such as Hope Together, Evangelical Alliance, Alpha, and some others. And there were some surprising results in this survey. They surveyed people in the UK, and then they've broken down some of the stats specifically to Northern Ireland. So here is some graphs on the screen. The statisticians will love this. But 53% of UK non-Christians know a practicing Christian. But in Northern Ireland, that increased to 81%. So 81% of people who aren't Christians know a practicing Christian. Now, what did they think of us was another question they asked on the survey. And probably if you're like me, my first thought would be like, oh no, they're going to say, you know, we're so judgmental, we're so narrow-minded, all of that kind of thing. But actually, they mostly describe us as caring, friendly, hopeful, generous, authentic. The Northern Ireland stats here say that 60% said we were caring, 100% said we were friendly. So there you go, that was a surprise, but hopefully that gives us more confidence in relating to people. You know, perhaps in the media and other things, it just comes across that Christians are always portrayed in a certain way. But this survey showed that's actually not necessarily what people think of us. They also asked what kind of questions are people who aren't Christians asking? And they were asking questions like, is there a purpose to life? What will make me happy? What happens when you die? Will everything be okay? And the world is so uncertain right now, isn't it? And we have a good shepherd who lays down his life for us, the sheep. And my last little graph here, we know that a lot of people come to faith in their childhood or when they're teenagers, but they wanted to find out if someone does come to faith when they're over 18, what are the top influences that help them come to faith? So the top answers were a life event, something significant happen in your life, like maybe having children or a bereavement or something like that. Christian family influenced people to come to faith, coming to a church, and conversations with Christians you know. So there you go, that's influences of people coming to faith. And as we read in verse 16, that's the heart of Jesus for other people to come into the pen. Other sheep that are not of this pen, I must bring them in also, they too will listen to my voice. But you know what? Jesus uses us, and we have friends and family who are maybe more open to this than we think. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So who do we know in our lives who needs to know this extravagant love of the Father, that they have a good shepherd who lays down their life for the sheep? And in our life group, we've each been praying for 5 people who don't know Jesus yet and talking about how we can share our faith in natural conversation and through relationship, sharing our story and what God has done in our lives, just being ourselves. So this is a challenge in a way. Who can we be praying for and believing for and inviting into this story? And we're delighted that we have Easter coming up, and in the Easter prayer room, that's going to be one of our prayers for people we love and people we don't even know to meet this good shepherd who lays down his life for us as sheep. We're crying out, Lord, would you bring them into your fold, into relationship with you? And that's the heart of Jesus, to let them hear his voice. We also have the Alpha course coming up after Easter. And why am I saying all these things? Why are we intentional about sharing our faith? Because he's our good shepherd, and because of him, we can know God and work out how we feel about those questions, about a purpose to life and what makes us happy, what happens when we die. So we want the people here asking those questions to know there's a good shepherd for them too. And also because there's a beautiful promise for us who follow him. In Revelation 17:17, it says, for the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. I don't know about you, but sometimes I long for that day when there is a lot of pain and suffering, to know that we will have the Lamb of God as our shepherd who will wipe every tear from our eyes. And don't we want all the people we love to know that promise and to experience that also? So who do you say I am? Jesus declares, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. So can we declare, like Jacob, no matter what our circumstances, no matter how dysfunctional our family, no matter how much the enemy has tried to deceive us, that I follow and trust the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. Genesis 48:15. And like Jacob, can I pass that blessing on to the next generations? I am the good shepherd. As Jesus declares this, I believe he makes a declaration to us. And today, I think that we can also make a declaration to him. Psalm 23, I believe our declaration to God today, to Jesus, can be Psalm 23. As he says, I am the good shepherd, we can say to him, the Lord is my shepherd. So I would like us to read together Psalm 23 as we finish. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you say, I am the good shepherd. And thank you that we can declare, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Carrickfergus Vineyard podcast. If you'd like to find out more about our church, please visit our website at carrickfergusvineyard.org.